Well, hello there, my friends. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 462 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a listener-supported show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. Now, today's show is about an awful lot of different topics. Today's show is about pivoting. It's about being a perpetual beginner and wanting to be a perpetual beginner. It's about getting out of our comfort zones and breaking out of those self-created boxes. Today's show is even about starting over if deep down inside your intuition is telling you that you need to course correct in one or many areas. Now, as I get older, I have noticed that the way I live my life and conduct my days, it is vastly different from the ways my daughters, my young daughters, experience the world. They look at every new experience with curiosity and awe. They are not so much afraid of failure, at least not yet. They're not at all concerned about how others view them. Again, at least not yet. And so I find myself longing for a return to my own factory settings, so to speak, in which I came into this world nimble in both thoughts and actions. And I do dream about being able to pivot with ease once again, like I did when I was younger and more carefree. I've noticed, and I could be wrong, but I have noticed that something tends to happen to so many of us as we age. We formed our habits and our beliefs when we were younger, and then as we get older, we stick to them. We stick to our beliefs, we stick to the ways we've conventionally done things without ever stopping to question whether the ways we've traditionally done things or whether the ways we've traditionally thought about big ideas continues to work in our favor. So we're talking about all of that today. And here to have this conversation with me is self-described perpetual beginner, Shannon Lako. Shannon is an author. She's the host of the Paring Down podcast. She is a military wife. She is a mom of three. And if you can believe it, those are only a couple of the many, many hats Shannon wears. Shannon, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so happy to be back with you.
Well, why don't we start by you telling us about yourself and your personal journey, your professional journey to starting a podcast. Tell us all the things.
Okay, let's see how we can sum this up. So my name is Shannon. Hi, everyone. I am currently the host of the Paring Down podcast. And so that is where I landed right now in terms of a career. But if we rewind things, I have a degree in psychology. And then I was a professional vocalist, lived in New York City for a couple years. I was actually Miss New York in the Miss America organization, which is like, feels like a million years ago. But that's always a little fun fact. And from there, I kind of had this crazy, like, non-linear experience when it comes to my career. So I worked in the federal sector outside of DC for a little bit. And then I found myself doing behind the scenes in reality television. I was a development producer. So finding new talent for brand new concepts. And so I had a lot of fun interviewing new people for that all over the country and finding like the craziest people I could. And then I am married to a Coast Guard officer and we moved to Alaska in 2019 from Virginia. And so when I was over there, I wrote a book called You're Completely Normal. And it's all about how there is no such thing as a timeline in life, because obviously through personal experience, even with just my career, I was all over the place. And I know we can often feel a little bit insecure, like, doesn't everyone else have all of their stuff together already? And like, there's all these kind of linear steps that the world around us kind of tells us we should take and why they shouldn't, frankly. So I wrote that book out in Alaska, and then we moved to Florida here 2 years ago, another Coast Guard move, and I was really overwhelmed. My house just felt really heavy, and I've always loved organization, and I do love decluttering. Like, I've always donated a lot of stuff, but once we got to Florida, I just was really struggling because I loved Alaska so much. And it was through that struggle that I was trying to pinpoint what can I control? What can I do to kind of make my life easier and better? And the slow life in Alaska, It was really what I missed, right? I mean, of course, I miss the mountains and the orcas in our backyard and the humpback whales. Like, yes, but I can't get that. So what else could I do to slow down life? And that was really diving into living with less. And it was through that that the Paring Down podcast was born. And now this is what I do.
Well, as you're talking there, Shannon, I'm thinking about all the fresh starts that you've had in your life, professionally, of course, also with your family, moving often. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, because I see with myself, I see with my parents, that we tend to just get stuck in our ways. We're following that timeline. You did mention there's no such thing as a timeline, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but we follow the timeline. We're following the expected trajectory. And yet when I look at my own daughters, they are so nimble in thoughts, in willingness to try new experiences. My older daughter, she's like, yeah, I'll try out for a play. Or my younger daughter, yeah, I'll think about that topic, whatever it is, in a new way. I'll see different points of view. And so when I look at the world through my children's eyes, there's an awful lot of opportunities to try new things, think about things in different ways. However, as an almost 40-year-old, I don't feel that way. I feel stuck in my ways. I feel very reluctant to try new things. This is a little off topic, but I'll just say there's something about CrossFit, like the idea of CrossFit, that interests me. I'd love to try a class, but for whatever reason, it's been years I've wanted to do this and I just haven't got there because I talk myself out of it, because I'm not a CrossFit person, because I'm scared I won't be able to make it through the workout, like all these reasons. And that's just one example of, I could probably come up with a hundred of me not being able to pivot like I used to. So you mentioned you believe there's no such thing as a timeline. Can you talk to me about that? Because I've been following a timeline my whole life, and here I am. I'm not sure if following the timeline has worked for me.
Oh, man, I love this. I could talk about this all day, hence why I wrote a book about it. But okay, I have to side note the fact that you want to try CrossFit. Fun fact, I did try CrossFit for the first time, actually, just a couple months ago. I was talking to a girlfriend. I'm like, I really want to gain more muscle, right? Like, especially when you're in your 30s, you stop caring as much about like the size of your clothes. And you're just like, I just want to be strong, right? I just want to be healthy. And so I went and I started going to a 4:45 a.m. CrossFit class. And honestly, I was terrified, right? But this kind of speaks to trying new things. I think in my own life, I think I have a proclivity for trying new things. Like even in summer camp, I remember growing up in middle school, I got the Make It Happen Award at summer camp. Like that's just kind of part of who I am, is I'm willing to dive in. I don't know. I wish I had some magical advice about it. I think that's just the way God made me. But I would say that because of that, I also have I've led a life where I have to try new things. Like when you move to New York City at the age of 23 and you don't really know anyone except for your roommate and you have no money and you know, all of that, right? You have to just figure it out and like make yourself survive and figure out what neighborhoods and how to use the subway. This is before smartphones, right? I don't know. I think that has lended itself to now in my mid 30s, I am more willing to try things like CrossFit, right? And I show up and I'm terrified and embarrassed because the coaches would have to change the workouts for me because I couldn't do it, right? And you know what's interesting though is that that ended up not working out for me. Waking up at 4 a.m., I didn't have as much energy for my kids later in the day. And even though I don't have time to take a class any other time of the day because life and work and kids, I realized that the drive to CrossFit and a full hour-long class in the morning was too much for my schedule. And so now I'm working out at home again. But that's the beauty of trying new things, is that not all of them are going to work. You might not be good at some of them. Some of them might just not jive with you. They might not work for your schedule. But there's beauty in trying new things. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is that if you are doing something new, that is a good sign that you are really living, right? Like you are out there taking control of your own life and living intentionally, which is kind of my underlying message of all of the different things I've created and done in my life. The idea that you are going to take control of your own life and not get into autopilot. And if I was going to give some advice as to how to start that, if you aren't just like me and born that way, I would say to find a friend for whatever thing you want to do. That's what made going to CrossFit a little bit easier for me. Even moving cross country, and we're constantly starting over as a military wife and a military family, talking to people, finding someone that you can say, hey, you've done this before. What would you do? How do you suggest I do this? Can you come with me? Well, obviously you can't move to Alaska with me, but you know, can you come to CrossFit with me? Can you teach me how to make the cookies? I really want to learn how to bake. Whatever it is. There are always people out there that are doing the thing that you are interested in doing. And not only does that kind of give you a foot in the door and expands that relationship, but it creates a really cool network of people and everyone's willing to help. If someone reaches out to me and they're like, I want to start a podcast, I'm not like, no, ma'am, not going to help you, right? I'm like, cool, you want to start? Cool, let me tell you all the things that have helped me along the way. And you'll find that people are really generous.
So as you're talking there, Shannon, I'm thinking about the last 39 years of my life. In college, in my 20s, certainly, I was definitely the person to try new things. Maybe some hobbies and experiences I attached to, and they became part of me and my identity, and some I let go. But the point was, I was willing to try. And these days, I talk myself out. Like if the situation, the timing, the cost, the this, the that, the everything, like if one thing is a little bit not jiving with how I want it to go, like, oh, I wash my hands of it, not for me. And I don't like that about my new entering my 40s self, but I see it with a lot of people. Like as we age, we get, I don't want to say stuck in our ways, but a better, a more positive way to say that would be to say perhaps we know who we are and, you know, we're on that trajectory. But you also mentioned intentional living there and taking life by the reins instead of life happening to you. That's a big tenet by which I live by. I want to fully live. So what advice would you have for me as someone who finds herself always just talking herself out of all new experiences? I know you said bring a friend, but are there any mental tactics I can use to stop talking myself out of it?
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple of things. First of all, a big one you can think about and just keep in the front of your mind is that research actually shows that people live longer when they're willing to try new things and they're willing to continue learning. So I feel like all of us who want to live healthy, longer lives, like have to understand that that's a necessity. That's really important. It's also really important to change this idea of discomfort and run away from it. I mean, that is a safety mechanism in our own bodies, right? Like if we are nervous to try something new, it's our own way of protecting ourselves. And so we have to make the conscious decision to say, no, ma'am, this is not about moving villages and then I'm not going to have anybody there to protect me from the lions or whatever, you know, all of those things that our bodies, like, you know, we're made to do and we're scared to break out of the village and to do something different, right? Because that is kind of where that fight or flight comes from a little bit. And instead say, this is actually good for me. I am safe. I am okay. It is okay if I fail. This is not a matter of belonging. I will be loved no matter what. I will be okay no matter what. This is important to push myself. And I think viewing the discomfort rather as a bad thing, viewing it as a, oh, this is a sign that maybe I should try this, right? Like when you feel that feeling, it is saying, oh, like this is something that I want to do. It's tension is what I would call it. So this is my actually, she's like my spiritual mentor, like in Christianity, she's like my person. But what her advice is can be applied to other areas of life. And she told me that there's this feeling of tension is when you know you should be moving in one direction, but you don't want to, right? Because of whatever your reasoning might be. She describes it as a feeling of opening your bottom drawer and you see that pair of jeans that you really love, but they no longer fit you, right? And you feel that tension. And so to me, the idea is let's face that tension head on and go in the other direction. So yeah, that would be my advice is whenever you feel that way, like Stephanie, if ever you're like, oh, I want to try CrossFit. And then your mind goes to all the reasons you can't. Because it's too much money every single month. Because when can I actually drive to the class? Because when? And instead, take messy action. You know, just do it. You might be like me. You might find out that you don't have the time, that it is too much money, that it doesn't work. Or you might find that that completely changes your mental health, your body in a way that you love. It's absolutely worth the $125 a month. You love driving there. The 20 minutes gives you extra time to listen to your favorite podcast in the car, and it turns out to be your favorite thing, right? Like, that could happen too, you know? And so it reminds me of the sweatshirt I have that says, what if it all works out, right? I think the older we get, we've seen things not work. We have failed before. We have, unlike our kids who are so excited to try new things, they haven't necessarily experienced as much feeling of failure. They also haven't experienced watching and hearing and seeing all the bad things that happen in the world and all the things that could go wrong. All they see is what could go right. And that's something I feel like we could take with us too, is to say, what if it all works out? Because it often can, right? Like, it often becomes something really, really exciting in our lives. There's really opportunity for growth anywhere you go, as long as you're willing to just do your best in whatever situation you find yourself.
That is so good, Shannon. So good. Thank you. So I have so much to say. As you're saying, you know, what if it goes right? I'm thinking about the last time I actually did get out of my comfort zone. And so this is a little Stephanie story, listeners. Get ready. But let's back way up. One of my life goals has been to qualify for and run the Boston Marathon. Like, I've run it for charities, but I wanted a bib that I got because I qualified. So back in December, on a whim, I didn't even think about it. I signed up for a race. I bought the plane ticket to get to the race. I booked the hotel room. And then I've kind of forgot about it. I was training, obviously, but the week before this race, I mentally freaked out, Shannon. And that's not even an understatement. My Achilles was hurting, so I used that as an excuse. I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to try. I wasn't going to get on the plane, but it was too late. I couldn't get my money back. So my husband was like, just get on the plane. If you don't run the race, you don't run the race. At least you know, had a weekend away. And I was a really hard wife to deal with that week. And I know it. I wasn't good. But I got on the plane. I ended up going to the expo, getting my bib. I ended up deciding I would try the race. And if my Achilles hurt or ruptured or did any of the worst case scenarios that I was picturing, I would just drop out. No big deal. At least I tried. Well, wouldn't you know, I ran that whole darn race. I qualified for the Boston Marathon. I fulfilled a lifelong goal of mine. And that's all great. But the real beauty and benefit, the icing on the cake, is that I reminded myself that I have self-efficacy and that I can do hard things and run really fast and I can do all the things. And so, yeah, like, it's great that I met my goal, but it's even better that I reminded myself that I can put myself in difficult and uncomfortable situations and succeed. So I think that's the piece that I really want to just bring to everybody. Like, when you put ourselves in uncomfortable situations, we are building up our self-esteem and our self-efficacy.
You know, it reminds me of an article I read talking about one of the surest indicators of success for our children once they get to adulthood, and that's resiliency. And I feel like we don't focus on resiliency as much. We focus on achieving. We focus on a traditional level of success. We focus on joy and happiness and doing what we love. And there's nothing wrong with all of those things. I think if you love to do something, go do it. However, there is something to be said about resiliency. And the only way to develop resiliency is to put yourself or experience really hard things. You know, my mom passed away when I was 24, and one of my favorite cards I have from her was one that she wrote to me when I was in college. And I kind of rediscovered it when I was going through her things and my things that were related to her. And in it, she said something along the lines, I must have been going through something, you know, as a 20-year-old college student. In the card, she'd said, you know, Shannon, life is just not going to be easy. That's just part of it. The biggest part is to learn to bounce back when it's not easy, to learn to keep going when it's not easy. We cannot be surprised when hard things happen, when we experience difficult emotions. Like, to take the surprise out of that, to take this feeling of like, oh, why is life out to get me? Or what am I doing wrong? Or why can't I just do it the way they're doing it? Or all these things that come into our heads. And instead just be like, oh yeah, well, this is life. I'm alive. So obviously this is not going to be easy. And instead develop this resiliency and say, oh, I've gone through hard things before. I know I can do it again. And that's what you're saying about that race. What that taught you is that, like, that gave you resiliency, right? And it's that word. And I'm going to say it over and over again, because I think it's really powerful and we don't hear that word enough. But doesn't that kind of give you like a sense of excitement to know, like, you are resilient? We are human beings and we are resilient, right? Like, I didn't think I was ever going to recover, so to speak, after my mom passed away. And it's not to say that hard things don't continue to affect you the rest of your life. Like, of course, grief never fully ends. But I feel like I am a really resilient person. I can see the positives and the silver linings in anything, even in worst case scenario, like losing my mom. That is a capability within all of us as human beings. That's the way we're created, because we have to be. We just have to keep on living, and life is going to be hard. And the more you prove it to yourself, like you did, Stephanie, the more exciting it becomes to see new opportunities and to know that no matter what happens, you'll be fine. So might as well, like, you know, shoot the hoop.
Shoot the hoop. I love it. So spoiler alert, listeners, this is not a podcast about trying CrossFit or trying to run a race. This is a podcast about putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations so that we can grow and fully self-actualize. And so we're going to take our sponsor break, Shannon. But when we get back, I want to talk with you about the bigger picture. New beginnings, another way to put that would be starting over. I feel like there's a lot of, especially in our American culture, where productivity and progress are synonymous, and they're not, but our culture tells us they are. Nobody wants to be starting over. So we're going to take what we talked about in part one and we're going to widen our lens, let's say. So we'll do that after a quick sponsor break. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Listeners, I'm going to be 40 next month. Oh my goodness. And even though there's a big part of me that wants to buy into the anti-aging claims of all the products, I am, of course, quite skeptical. I recently just discovered a brand called Lima, and it is changing the game when it comes to caring for your skin. It is science-based. The Lima laser is the most powerful clinic-grade cosmetic laser device, and it's the only laser that's FDA cleared for at-home use. I am so excited to try the Lima laser on my wrinkles, and you know I'll be reporting back. Visit lyma.life, that's lyma.life, and learn more about the Lyma laser. If you're interested in trying one, you can sign up for their newsletter, tell them that Sustainable Minimalists sent you, and let me know how it goes for you. That's lyma.life. And we're back. Today I'm speaking with Shannon Lako. She wears a lot of hats, everybody. She's an author. She's the host of the Paring Down podcast. She is a military wife and she is the mom of three children. Oh my goodness. I'm tired just hearing all that, reading all that, Shannon. Before the break, we talked about trying new hobbies, like putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations. Why would we even want to do that? But now, in part two of our conversation, I'd really love to expand our lens and talk about not just trying a new hobby, signing up for a new class, but beginning again in the bigger ways. Dare I even say starting over? I feel like, at least in my life, I was fed a timeline. The timeline was you graduate high school, you go to a college, hopefully a good college, you then either A, meet somebody and settle down and then have children, or B, simultaneous to that, go to graduate school. And then if you just follow the trajectory, you know, you've done what you were supposed to do and life will be perfect. However, here I am, 1 month away from 40, and I'm questioning the timeline. I'm questioning my adherence to what I was told to do. So for anybody listening who's thinking about, well, you know, the timeline, the trajectory, it's no longer working for me. Maybe it did at one point, but maybe it's not anymore. What words of advice do you have with regard to beginning again, or again, dare I say, starting over?
Yeah, there are lots of different ways that we might want or need to start over. There are complete perspective shifts. There are reframes, right? So that's kind of a psychological way of starting over. You might want to start over your career and you're in your 30s or 40s and you're like, is that even possible? You might need to be starting over a relationship. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or a really painful breakup or whatever it might be. So I think when we say starting over in life, I mean, it could be relocating like me as a military wife, right? Restarting in life, it's not just one big thing, right? It really is made up of these different facets of life that come together and create kind of the world in that we live in personally. If you have to start over, or if you want to start over, oftentimes we think when we're older that we will look silly. So in terms of what other people will think, I think we need to kind of release that, because if you talk to any of your friends, probably very few of them are actually like really happy with every single area of their life. And obviously we could go into the talk about social media and the comparison game and how all of that plays into it. But I don't think we need to go there for everyone to know that comparison is a problem. And that also when we talk to the people we actually know, most of us are feeling the same thing, where most of us are feeling like, wait, what am I doing here exactly? So whatever facet of your life that is like the big thing that you're struggling with, right? Like if it's your career or this or that, to recognize that A, you cannot compare it to somebody else's. That right there gives you more of that control of your own life when you're not just doing things because other people are doing it. Well, she had three kids and she's a working mom, so I need to do that. Or they're taking this vacation, so we should take this kind of a vacation, or whatever it is. So once you eliminate the competition, eliminate that kind of comparison mindset, then you can zone in on what actually matters to you. And if you're like, I'm just not loving my career, I'm not loving where I am, that's okay. Like, you can start over at the age of 40. And I think that we often think if we're starting over, let's say with a career, that we're literally starting over. But just because you change something in your life doesn't erase all of the lessons and the skills that you have learned from something that's different in your life. So for me, working in unscripted television, I was, you know, writing pitches that would be then pitched to, let's say, HGTV or Discovery or whatever. I was writing all these creative pitches. Is that the same thing as writing podcast scripts or writing blogs for my boss? No, but it is creative writing. And I am good at it, right? And I honed it in a different type of a job, or when I was writing my book, right? Even with my podcast, I was interviewing people to potentially have their own reality TV show. And so I was doing Skype interviews with them. And now I'm interviewing people for my podcast, right? So we can take skills that we learned in our past and transfer them over into something that we want to be doing now. So starting over, you never fully start over because you're taking with you all the lessons and who you are and who you've grown to be with you into that next endeavor and that stage in life. So, you know, I would encourage you, if you're struggling, to remember that starting over is never officially starting over.
Well, you've convinced me, Shannon. However, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm also going to be really darn honest and transparent with where I struggle, which is in our culture and certainly in the community that I live in. When you are talking to somebody, you have to give a summation of who you are and what you do in like one or two sentences, right? So if we're starting over all the time, I have trouble saying, yeah, you know, I have a podcast. And it just pales in comparison to the I'm the VP of finance or whatever it is, right? Like, because they've been on the same finance track for 20 years and now they have this great big title. And I know you're going to say, like, don't compare yourself to others, but I just feel like that's so hard in a culture and in a society in which our value is intricately tied to our title, to the amount of money we make, to our amount of power that we hold. And again, I say all the time, like, don't compare yourself to the Joneses, do your own thing. It's about intentionality. But it's really darn hard to do that in real life.
Oh my gosh, it is so hard. I mean, like, let's just say that it is really, that's hard to do. I get it. It's totally easier said than done. I mean, my family, they're all career people. I feel like the black sheep sometimes, right? So it's just acceptance, right? Like, that is the first step. Like, you just have to accept that you didn't do that. And that's okay. That's great. And if you decided that wasn't for you, then the only option is to do the inner work to find the confidence in that. Like, that's not the answer you want to hear. That's not the answer any of us want to hear. We want to say, how do I have my cake and eat it too? How do I be fully accepted by a society that puts all of our value on what we do for a living and do what I want for a living that is not as fanciful as these titles? You cannot have both. Sorry, you just can't. So what you have to do is do that inner work that, yes, okay, some of it is comparison, but this is also why I'm so passionate about living with less, like on from our belongings and in our home. That's why I talk about decluttering, is because it's not just about having a nice house. It's not just about having a clean home that is like beautiful when you walk into it because there's not stuff everywhere, which mine is, first of all, not perfect. I have 3 kids under age of 6. Okay. My house is a disaster right now. The point of living with less, and living not just with less clutter than is socially acceptable, I'm talking about less than you think you need. Like, less than you ever thought you would need, like challenging yourself and saying, oh, like, I love fashion, and I'm only going to keep 2 pairs of jeans, like doing the hard work and really paring down. The reason I'm so passionate about that is because through letting go of your physical possessions, you start realizing that you don't really care how other people are doing it. You don't, because it feels good to you. And so it can start in your own house where there's no one looking in, where you're getting rid of all this stuff. You feel light. You don't have to make all these decisions in the morning. Everything in your closet fits and you like to wear it. And so you're not like, you know, having decision fatigue in the morning. You like putting your kids' clothes away because there isn't a whole lot there. But the whole point of that is that when we pare down what's inside of our house, suddenly we know what works for us and we feel confident about what works for us. And that can bleed over into confidence in how we do everything else in life, right? And so decluttering allows me that freedom of thought in every area of my life. And that's why I'm passionate about talking about it, because it has to be the inner work. You have to feel confident and good about the decisions you're making for your life. And Stephanie, like, you are so good at your podcast. It is going so well, like, from someone who's newer in the podcast world. So you can be thinking about your neighbors who are saying, oh, she's not a VP of finance at this company. Or you can think about Shannon Lako, who thinks you're the coolest podcast ever, because you've been on forever and you have like all of these followers and all these people who love and are learning from you in such a tangible and direct and inspirational way. And I think you have the coolest job. I look at someone who's VP of finance and I'm like, that sounds kind of miserable personally, right? And so there's always people who think that what you're doing is super awesome too. So if you have to be thinking about other people's opinions, just, you know, think about those kinds of people's opinions.
So I love it. I just want to clarify and just say that, you know, I am fine living in a nonconformist way, you know, outside of the timeline, the trajectory. Like, I am A-okay with doing and being different. And thank you for mentioning decluttering and minimalism there, because that was a big part of my journey to living a different way. The issue is, at least for me, that I am now so far away and beyond and different from the standard trajectory timeline that everybody else is living, that when I try to socialize, it doesn't work because they're on path A and I'm way over on path F, let's say. And so, like, I don't even feel like necessarily I can connect with others because they're all following the path they were told. And I'm way over there making soap and, I don't know, thrifting my kids' clothes instead of going to Lululemon and like doing all the things. So I guess that's where my final question would be for you today. Like, as many of us go down our respective paths, and there are many paths, many timelines, and many trajectories, but whatever path we choose, like, our areas of concern, our friends and family groups tend to get smaller. Our interests tend to narrow. Our opportunities to experience new and novel moments of delight, like, they're whittled down. And at the same time, so that's all happening, but simultaneous to that, our adulting responsibilities increase. And all that together creates a perfect storm of stagnation, let's say. Any thoughts, any advice, any final words?
You've got to break out of that box. You got to get out of the rhythms. I think we get into rhythms, and there are good things about rhythms, right? I mean, I talk about, you know, getting into rhythms in your home all the time. But when they can start controlling you, that really is the time to say, I'm going to do something different. And energy creates energy. So if you're kind of feeling blase blah with the way your life is going, do something that forces you to put energy into it, because that will create more energy, right? It's like, you're not going to want to work out when you're sitting on the couch, but once you get your butt up on the machine, then you start feeling motivated, right? So I would say to remind yourself that you're not going to feel energized and excited to try something new and to break out of the box and to go to the CrossFit class or to try the new church or to talk to your neighbor across the street because that's awkward or whatever it is, right? Like, you're not going to feel excited to do that, but you have to do that to create the energy and to create the change that you would like to see in your life. I would also just really, really, really suggest that you sit down and write things out. You're 40% more likely to do something if you write it down. And that can feel so silly, but it matters and it changes things, because once you've written it down, you kind of have a clear idea of where you want to go and what you want to try and what you want to do and what you want to be different. Because I think sometimes even what you're sharing too is, you're like, I don't know what to change. I just know that I want something to change. Like, I just know that this doesn't feel good. That's hard. You can just take random action and movement or do something different. But when you sit down and write down, what do I want to change? Take the time to brainstorm it out. Like, you have the time to do that, to grab a notebook and do the woo-woo brainstorming. And you might be surprised and amazed at what's not working for you, what you wish was different, how you want your life to look differently, and get some concrete ideas of what changes you can make in order to move in the direction that feels good for you. So that would be kind of like my last little piece of advice.
Yeah. And I'll just add, listeners, for anybody who feels similar to me, I guess I would just say to you, and therefore by consequence also me, that life is for living, right? Life is for trying new things, putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations, starting over if deep within our souls we know the path we're on is not the path we're supposed to be on. I love what you said about tension before. What did Oprah say? Oh gosh, I used to laugh at Oprah when I was in high school and she was on, and I was like, what do all these middle-aged women like about this lady? Like, I don't get it. But I get it. She said, you know, the universe will whisper at you. And if you don't listen to the whispers will get louder. The universe will eventually shout at you until you can't turn away. And so if the universe is shouting at y'all, remember, life is for the living. Life is for pivoting if pivoting needs to happen. And Shannon, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. What a conversation. You've really given me an awful lot to reflect on. Tell us where we can find more of you, your book, your podcast, all of it.
I've loved the conversation too. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, is it over? Like, I could just talk to you all day. You can find me I'm mostly on Instagram at Paring Down Podcast, and Paring Down is not with an I. You can find my book, You're Completely Normal, Trading Where You Think You Should Be for Where You Want to Go. Yeah, those are my two big ones.
Well, again, I'll link to all of your goodness in the show notes. But Shannon, thank you so much. Your podcast is great. Listeners, go listen to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Listeners, that's a wrap, my friends. Show notes are at mamaminimalist.com/462. If you liked this episode, if you liked this show, please consider leaving it a quick review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you like this type of episode in particular, more of a conversation, more focused on intentional living, please make sure you write that in your review so I can read it, and you will help me plan future episodes. Thank you so much. And of course, if you really like the show and you want it to continue, please consider supporting the show with $5 a month. The link to do that is also in the show notes. This show depends on you to keep afloat. I don't know how many different ways I could say it, so I'll just say it the same way I've been saying it, and hopefully that message gets across. So if you love the show, please consider supporting it, and thank you. We will be back on Friday for headlines. I will see you then. Reach out if you need me, and take care.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.